I always like to draw people's attention during the conversation because, you know, I do want people to go to Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you're listening. Follow along. If you're listening on your phone, you know, you can listen to this and start adding things to your catalog as well. But that first Dan King solo record, Time Move Over, if you look in the background, I don't know if this was accidental or not, but you got the that 1965 Stones record. There's a poster behind you.
Oh, yeah. Right, the December's Children.
Yep.
I remember that. Right. I forgot about that photo session. No, that was a great record. That was that was put out by a record company. And that's when I had a little bit of a deal that was nationally released, and it was good production. Tom Hambridge, actually, who's pretty famous producer now. He's won a lot of Grammys in the blues genre. If you look him up, look up Tom, and he's done very well. I mean, so we did that record. That was, I think, recorded in 98, 99, came out around 2000. And while we were recording, he was recording Susan Tedeschi. And that record kind of blew up at the same time. So he moved to Nashville. But I was just lucky. Just, you know, if I had missed him by a couple of years, then I never would have met him. But thankfully, and that was going back to the rum line. I was working at the rum line, bartending and booking, and he was playing there. He came in, we talked, you know, and he ended up, I think I worked with him on two records. He produced two records with me. And so, yeah. And I still hear from Tom once in a while. Again, which is great. If I go to Nashville, I got to look Tom up.
And from that record, never once got some airplay. Is that right? The opening track, never once.
Yeah, locally, and I think from about, you know, here to New York, maybe some other people picked it up. There's a station called The River that is still around. And they were they were one of the early purveyors of people doing the more, like, less metal influenced kind of grunge music and more in that kind of Wilco acoustic side of alternative music, I guess is what they called it at the time. And people like Pete Yorn and that kind of stuff. That's where they were landed, and that's where they put me. And yeah, I was happy to be there, and I was glad they were playing it. Yeah, and yeah, so that song, yeah, that's a great song. I have a fun memory, actually. I have a great memory. I was in San Francisco playing. I got to open up for Canned Heat, and at the Boom Boom Room, John Lucas Boom Boom Room up on Fillmore. And I remember that song, just playing that song and getting a really great response. I always have that memory of that tune, of playing that, you know, just solo acoustic. And then I got to, of course, hear all that great blues by Canned Heat in a real blues room.
Wow.
So,
if you want, we could play a little, 20, 30 seconds of Never Once. And
sure.
I was going to tell you a track on this album that I really like is City Boy.
Oh, thank you.
Maybe,
yeah.
I mean, it may only be 2.5 minutes, but I jotted down the lyrics here. By and by. That city, Lord, I just couldn't hold on for one more day. Back on by, that city boy, should have seen him talk to me the way he did. And I was so curious to get your recollection of that song and maybe what you were writing about at the time.
Yeah, I think a lot of times it's just experiences. And, you know, I'm being just, you know, even though Gloucester is not exactly, you know, the sticks, it's still, we're not in the city, you know, we're a good 30 miles north, and it's a small, Gloucester's a city in itself, it's small, about 30,000 plus, and, you know, it's probably one of those experiences of, like, going into the city, and, you know, you're catching a bit of attitude, you know?
Yeah.
And let's write about that.
Running to my only world in my head. Yeah, he would say I was always wrong, running to my only world in my head. Actually, if you don't mind, I'll play a little sample of that one and then a little Never Once.
Sure.
All right, here we go. This is City Boy from Time Move Over. And Dan, I also like it. You hear
back
City Boy, first take.
That city, Lord. Yeah, so that was an acoustic, you know, that we were kind of just doing demos. It was almost like a demo, I think, on Time Move Over. Those were kind of extras. Like, the original record, I think, didn't even have that. And then we re-released it with, like, some of the demos and things that, like, didn't work out with the band that, you know, weren't officially released in the first run. So, yeah, I'm glad. I'm so glad I added it on there, because, you know, here we are. Picked up on that one. So if I hadn't added it, nobody ever would have known.
Yeah, he would say I was always wrong. run into my only world in my head. Back on by that city, Lord, you should have seen him talk to me. Oh, I wish you could.
City Boy. Okay, and then let's see if I can pull up Never Once and just take people back to this very first record, or first solo album. Good to take it back to the to that time period, and then you had a follow-up record right behind that that I think is still pretty special to you. Or I was reading about the song Summer Love from Two Kinds of Mind, that this was particularly or something that I think your father really appreciated, really liked this track.
Yes, that was a favorite of his. Yeah, he loved that one. It was one of those songs, my father, I was lucky that he had a really wide variety of music he listened to, but I think the biggest influences I remember were Chet Atkins. He loved Chet Atkins. So I really, and that's how David Brown and I actually really connected in the first place, was we were both ended up being fans of Chet Atkins. And then, funnily enough, as we dug into the family history, my mother, on her side, she had an uncle, this guy Roger, and he actually gave David Brown lessons. And he was a big fan of Chet Atkins, who turned them both. So he turned my father and David on to Chet Atkins way back in the day. And he played a Chet Atkins Country Gentleman guitar with the Gretsch amp, the whole bit. So we really had that in common. And my dad actually was the guy who turned me on to Billy Joel. I didn't even know David was in the band at the time. I'd never known. I'm a bit younger than David and you know, obviously my father. So, but we used to drive around listening to 8-tracks of Billy Joel when I was a kid in the 70s. So, my father had he appreciated it. He didn't have an eclectic taste. He appreciated beautiful sounds. And that song definitely has some beautiful chord changes and it's an interesting lyric. I always feel like I can tell I was listening to a little bit of Harry Nilsson, I think, at the time, too. Harry Nilsson was kind of this pop songwriter, but who also had a good sense of humor. And would definitely experiment with a lot of different type of genres and productions, and working with Richard Perry, I believe, and orchestras and things. So I think that's what we were going for, that kind of a Harry Nilsson song.
It's got kind of a cabaret sound to it a little bit.
Definitely, yeah. It's kind of like it's basically kind of like a little jazz tune,
mm-hmm.
Right? A little cabaret slash jazz tune. And there's a record Harry Nilsson did called A Touch of Schmielson in the Night. And it's him with an orchestra. And he sings very quiet and kind of like what you call when you're recording, when you sing quiet, you call it like you're doing pillow talk. And so I think it's got a bit of that. And it became a real favorite. We played it live for years. And I still play it live once in a while. Not as much recently due to David's passing. But it was definitely a favorite of all of ours. And it's just one of those songs that's just stuck around for, now I'm thinking, 25 plus years.
What an endearing chorus here. So don't go running back for the fruit on the vine. Enjoy the sunshine. Don't go running back for whatever it is that you're thinking of. It's nothing but summer love. Is that basically just saying, you know, let those seasonal infatuations just pass you on by, just move on, get over it?
Well, it's mostly just enjoy it. Just enjoy it, right? Not even get over it, but just enjoy the moment, be in the now, and don't go running back for whatever you're chasing after. You know, sometimes I think people are are always chasing something. They're always looking for the next thing when the good thing is right happening right then. And so I think that's one of those moments. Yeah, and especially around here where, you know, summer is a big commodity. You know, this town doubles, triples in size in the summertime because of that, you know, because time is very precious and these beautiful days, they're not going to, you know, we're going to get maybe 2.5, 3 months of them. So enjoy yourself.
Yeah. I was starting to talk earlier about the, 2017, 18, you've got the Live at Chianti. You've also got the In the Light solo EP, which when I hit on the third track, Low Diver, man, what a riff, Dan. Is that?
Oh, yeah.
Are you dropping down to detuning in that song?
I don't think I am. I think, but it sounds it. But doing some really heavy sax and that brought me back to my early. I hadn't done anything like that in a very long time. That was a lot of fun. Just, and that's what happens. Sometimes I would have these songs or these ideas that, you know, once you're in established bands, you're like, well, this isn't really for them. You know, I don't know if this is going to be what they're going to like or it's going to work for what we're doing. And so it kind of get pushed to the side. And that was one of those ones like, well, let's develop this one a little further and have some fun with it. And that was great. And it gave me an excuse to, you know, make the phone call to my friend Mike Tucker. He's currently the saxophonist for Arturo Sandoval. He's been on tour with him for a few years now. And he also teaches at Berklee School of Music. And so it's great because I've known him since he was a kid and have him come. And it's just, we got to do some sessions and get some saxophone on there and try something different. But yeah, that's a fun riff. That's something I don't think I've ever even played live. It's just that was more of like a studio experiment.
Yeah, it stands apart. There's nothing comparable that I've found on previous records. I got some of my favorite songs so far written down here for you, just to get your thoughts here. A Baudelaire off the next year's EP, Bathed in Dreamlight.
Oh, yeah.
Just tell me one thing, the What Have I Done thing. Just tell me now, do you care? Really love that. Yeah. And love the mood of that song as well.
Yeah, well, Baudelaire is kind of like one of those rimbaud, kind of like a gutter poet a little bit, you know, kind of probably a little antisocial, you know. And so, songs to me, it's a lot of times they're journeys, it's experimentation. And yeah, and you're trying to get inside different characters. And I really love how that one came out. That was a fun one. And actually, I remember producing it. It was right around the time I think David Bowie had passed. And so he was on everybody's mind. So I think when we were recording that, we were like, let's try to do a little bit of, let's put get a little maybe David Bowie influence on this one. And I think that came through. And we definitely, it's a little more produced, I think, because of that. You know, where David Bowie probably would have had a little more production, a little less, like there's a lot of times folk and rock and, you know, and acoustic music, you know, it's less is more on those records. And I think that's perfect for those kind of songs. But this one, we were like, oh, let's add a little bit extra.
Before I forget, also, and people can find the link to this as well in the episode's show notes, but danKingandFriends.com, spell out and. There's also a merchandise section, so if people want a coffee mug, a T-shirt, a tote bag, there's various items here. Just if you're just starting to scratch the surface on Dan King, look in your cabinet. You need a new coffee mug anyway. Why not add that one to it? So always like to draw some attention there.
I appreciate it. I mean, they make it so easy nowadays, you know, where like you don't have to like print up a ton of stuff ahead of time. You can print to order. And so it's fun because a lot of times you put a lot of effort into these album covers and photographs and things that you use that, you know, and we don't have like the, you know, the CDs and we don't have you know, the albums, the LPs that, you know, they don't sell as much. So, hey, you know what, if you still want that artwork, you can put it on a mug or put it on a T-shirt or whatever you want, which is fun.
And I wrote in my notes here, if people want the actual compact disc of, I think, Time Move Over and Light City Live, are there still a few of those flying around?
I think there's still a few of those flying around somewhere. And I know I have some. And they used to be on CDBaby.com would sell them. But I'm not even sure I should check that because, you know, I know CDs are kind of going the way, you know.
Unfortunately.
Most cars, yeah, exactly. You have to have a separate drive nowadays, I believe.
Dan, I was going to ask you also, so there's the Dan King acoustic duo. You've done shows with it, or you've performed that acoustic duo in the past. Special memories, special songs that you've written just in that setting?
Yeah, acoustic. Probably some of the stuff I'm writing now. I got a lot of new songs in my head. I went down to Nashville a few years ago, did some writing down there. And when they do the acoustic stuff, it just has to be simple, I think. You know, I like to keep things very simple, very open sounding. But a song that I love to acoustic say is like from the Live at Chianti. There's the song that the Band of Kings did. Oh, now I got to look up the title because this is what happens when you get older.
Band of Kings.
The end of the end of the line. That one. That's the one I love to do acoustic and with a duo, just because especially like three chords, and you can and they're very open chords. And it's a lot of fun. Like we do a live with the band, but live just any kind of acoustic situation. I think that song really shines.
Could keep going down a rabbit hole, and I got to stop myself here. But I really like this, and I think this song is still very important to you, and still in the live set, the Blue Sky Sundown EP in that title track.
Yeah, Blue Sky Sundown. I mean, there's a video of that on YouTube of us playing it at Berkeley Performance Center with the KBMG, King Brown Madison Anders. And that song is probably the most popular song I think I've, you know, and we still get requested all the time. I did a gig like a month ago with Danielle. When Danielle, we did a songwriter circle, and I had about 3-4 requests for Blue Sky Sundown. So, yeah, that song's been sticking around. I'm so happy for it. It's a fun song. It's upbeat. I love to, like, either open the show with it or close the show with it. And I'm just glad it kind of came my way. I feel lucky to have done that one. And I love recording it, and I got to record it with Dave Max. And also, I think that's Michael Ward Bergman. He's a great accordion player who thinks I think he's out of Chicago now, but he was in New Orleans for a long time. And he's on accordion on that one. He's just an unbelievable accordion player. And so I just remembered, yeah, we've got him on that track. But, yeah, Blue Sky Sundown, any day of the week.
If you're going on a cross-country drive, Dan King's music can carry you the whole way. And if you're just, you know, of a certain season of your life, one of these records, whether it's, you know, dig into one or two of the solo albums and then move over to, I don't know, the Bandit Kings, the early stuff, and KBMG, you'll find something to tickle your fancy there. So I think a lot of people can relate to this. I found this on Apple Music, where you're just basically answering, you know, just describe one of your earliest musical memories in detail. And you're talking about a high school jazz concert with renowned French horn player and original jazz Berkeley professor Herb Pomeroy. And I guess he was the one that encouraged you to, quote, keep your own voice and don't learn too much. How cool is that?
Oh, yeah. Herb was an unbelievable gentleman, and he's one of the founders, I think, one of the early teachers of Berklee School of Music, and he was from Gloucester. And, I quit track, I think, or my senior year, because I played sports in high school, too, so it was hard to do both. And I joined the jazz band. I always wanted to do that. And so I got to play with Herb. And at the end, yeah, he just came up to me. He was really encouraging. And he told me that, yeah, he goes, you got something. He goes, don't learn too much. Yeah, don't learn too much because, you know, you don't want to learn it out of you, basically. You know, you don't want to, like, you don't want to be cookie cutter. Like, if learning too much, I guess is the way I interpreted it was, you know, you don't want to sound like everybody else. And I'll say one more thing about Herb, actually, because at the time, you know, I was a student athlete as well and playing music. And, you know, a lot of times those paths didn't cross as much. You know, you either did one thing, you did the other, you kind of stayed in your lane. And, what was really disarming was, like, I met Herb, and he came up to me and he goes, Danny, he had this really low voice, and all the things, Danny, you know, I've seen every one of your football games. Turns out he was a big football fan, and he would go to all the games. And he's been watching me play for all, you know, for 3 years. You know, so I was just trying to put me right in.
You had no idea.
Yeah, no idea. So of this jazz legend who played with Charlie Parker, who was coming to my football games.
Oh man,
and watching me on. So that was a beautiful thing, and it made it okay. Yeah, you can like both. It's okay.
Yep. Well, the next episode we could talk a little bit about the Pats and what you think about their rebuild and what's happening in the future post Belichick, Brady, all the
Well, I got to say, years. We just went through quite an era. I mean, I can't complain. My dad and I and so many of us, I mean, that Brady era, that was something. I mean, 20 years of just winning, you know? I can't, again, hopefully they'll turn it around. But for now, I guess maybe I'm not as rabid as some of the other Boston fans, but I'm still pretty satisfied for all those experiences. And maybe because I got to meet Tom too, and go to a bunch of games and really enjoy it. And the whole run, I always think of, great uncles and people who never got to see all that, and some of the kids who were saying nowadays who were born, they were born after the first or second Super Bowl, that they won. And I got to see them all.
Now,
and the Red Sox, Bruins, and the Celtics in between. So Boston's a pretty good place for sports. So I got no complaints from me.
When you met Tom Brady, now some people think he's kind of stiff and robotic or whatever. I don't think he is. I think he's probably a nicer guy than he's given credit for. What was your impression?
Oh, he was great. But we were also at a Rolling Stones concert. And the fun thing about that story, I'll give you the. So I'm there with Whoopi, right? She's a guest of the Stones. And so, that's why I'm in Keith's dressing room and all that, So when I go down, when Whoop brings us down, and we're about fourth row. And then there's all kinds of, luminaries down there. And at one point, they have that kind of middle stage that kind of with the runway that comes out to the center. And so, that's actually behind us, that little other stage. But at one point, I see three guys walking down towards where we are, on the fourth row, and they're getting stopped by security. And it was Doug Flutie, Teddy Bruschi, and Tom Brady, And I'm a big guy, I'm an ex-football player. I'm 6'3". So I was hanging with one, and I look. I know I look like I could be security, so I kind of walk over to the security guy, and I go, "Oh, they're cool. They can come down." So I watched the Stones. I had Whoopi Goldberg on one side and Tommy Brady on the other, and hanging out listening to "Can't Always Get What You Want." So that was that was an experience
of a lifetime.
Exactly.
And how's Whoopi? Can she hang? I mean, is she just side by side with her?
She was great. She was so smart. I got the gig because I knew a lot of Rolling Stones music, and she was a fan, and she was friends with them. And she did a movie years ago called Jumpin' Jack Flash, and with Aretha Franklin, they did a version of that song. So they went back. They had known each other since the 80s. But I was that. But then she had another guy when I worked with her, was in the band who, she loved Elton John too. And he did all this kind of Elton John stuff. But she, she could do anything. She could do comedy. She did theater. She's just one of those people. She's got the EGOT, she's won an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony. Not very many people have done that. And she was fun. She was always just, we laughed, we chilled, she was cool.
And finally, sharing the stage with Robin Williams, is that right?
Yeah, so that was a fun story. So I played Whoopi's 50th in New York. That was the era I was hanging out with her. And they took us down, and we were the band. David Brown was on that gig too. And he would have met Robin, I guess, way back in like the 70s or something, when he was with Billy Joel. But anyway, so we're jamming, of course. And then this guy's kind of, there's only about 50 people there. It was in the room, a place called the Cutting Room. And Robin's like dancing right underneath us, and you could just tell he wanted up. He wanted up on the stage, you could just feel it. So finally I go, "Hey, you want to come up?" And he, of course, and he jumped up and we did a bunch of songs together. And my favorite memory is I remember feeding in the lyrics to Come Together by the Beatles. We started jamming on that. And I'm like mouthing the words of, "Here come old Flat Top," we had a good time. I was playing guitar and singing, and we had the band, and he jumped on stage with us, and just sang some songs with us.
And you're shoulder to shoulder with them, that kind of visual.
Oh, well, at one point we were singing Satisfaction. I had Robin on my left and Whoopi on my right. We're all sharing one mic singing Satisfaction by the Stones.
Kill me now, Lord. This is
right?
Most yeah. people will be in that spot, and if they got struck by lightning, hey, that's it's been a good run.
When I left the club that night, and a few people say, you just had your New York moment.
Man, thank God that you have kept marching on, and you haven't had your creativity stifled by various entities telling you need to write this type of song, you need to release this type of record at this point in time, and so everybody that loves and appreciates you and your music has just gotten the full flavor.
Yeah, a lot of ways I've been very lucky in that respect, where it's like, yeah, I've been able to have a life in music, you know, maybe a little under the radar, but still, you know, got to do a lot of the fun stuff.
Well, this has been a really special conversation and an episode for me, and the podcast here, I've been going about a year and a half, and it's never just humdrum. All the guests are really cool, but this has been really special, Dan. If Danielle recommended you, I thought, well, there's got to be something there before I even started researching, and I'm so pleased with what I've uncovered, and can't wait to spend some more time in the catalog.
Oh, I hope you enjoy it. Thanks for listening. I'm happy to make it. I'm glad people hopefully still enjoy it, and I'll keep on making it. Why not, right?
That's it. All right, well, folks, this has been another episode of the Dan Time Podcast. Hope you've enjoyed it, and a lot of great takeaways today. Please visit dankingandfriends.com and follow Dan on social media. I think that's primarily Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Is that right?
Yeah.
And check it out. And as you said at the top of the conversation, some new music. No surprise there. I don't see much of a gap here in the past 25, 30 years. So always something on the horizon, and can't wait to see what comes next, what you guys assemble.
Yeah, should be out. I'm going to Mixdown is scheduled for April. So hopefully we'll have the artwork done and everything out by the summer.
I usually say, hey, would love to have you back in another year, but Dan, I'd love to have you back in 6 months if there's a record out that we could talk about and you'd be willing to do it.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, when the record comes out, it'd be perfect timing.
All right. Well, you guys have a great rest of the week. Take care of yourselves. Take care of your friends. Go out and see some live music. And if you're in the Gloucester area, New England area, you're traveling there anytime this year over the summer, check out the website, keep up with the live performance dates, and go see Dan King wherever he's performing. That's it for this episode of the Dan Time Podcast. We'll see you next Sunday. Thank you so much, Dan King.